Blog Talk Radio.
It is Sunday, March 26, 2017, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in America. I'm Grantham Taylor Hughes for my show, The Grantham Taylor Hughes Show, with my guest host each week, Gabriella Foster. Hi, Gabriella. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself, Grant? How are you?
I'm just fine.
Sorry, folks. Grant's not available. He is hysterically laughing, and he will not be able to do the rest of the show. Come back to us. Come back to us.
And nobody knows why I'm laughing, right? So I do apologize because we didn't tell the joke to you people, the listening audience. So that's, we're stuck with our own laughter. Well, I don't know what that means, if you're stuck with your own laughter. At the same time, each week we try to do some political work, which is the, if anybody's read the description, sometimes people have a tendency not to read introductions and they just get into the show. But the description is explaining that we try to talk about each week the 1930 Geneva Convention bankruptcy, which is a really interesting topic from the standpoint that bankruptcy has us at this point in our society, the culture, we're using a money which is a debt currency. So that's why we target the Geneva Convention 1930, because it affects our daily lives in terms of the money that we use. There are a lot of groups and discuss the fact of the cycles of bankruptcy about every 70 years, but I don't really focus on those because they have nothing to do with the present paper money that we use on a daily basis, which is the Federal Reserve note. And we've talked a lot about that, Gabriella. And can you explain a little bit about what you know about the dollar bill?
Okay. Well, it's called the Federal Reserve note because it's a debt instrument. It doesn't have silver behind it. And so when I was growing up, as many people are probably aware of who experienced the same thing, it was called a silver certificate. But it's no longer called a silver certificate because silver is no longer backing it. So that's why we call it a Federal Reserve note, or as people colloquial say, a FERN.
Yes, well said. The FERN is an IOU or a promissory note. It's a promise to pay, but it's not certified money. And as you pointed out so cogently many months ago, that the word certify really means certain is the derivation of that. So we're in certainty when we have a certificate. However, the Federal Reserve note is not a certificate any longer, and people get concerned about it because they think the FERN has no value. But if people look closer on the face of the dollar bill, there is an 11-word statement that says, this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. That's from the 1793 Coinage Act, albeit that's a suspended law. And people say, well, there you go. It's not really a legal paper. But we have to understand, suspended under what? Well, it's suspended under the Uniform Commercial Code. So that is a law that backs the money. And people are not aware of that. They think that the courts and what have you are all run by Admiralty Maritime Equity Law, and that's not true. I mean, equity has nothing to do with our court system right now, just the Uniform Commercial Code, which we're using, using Section 1 of the bankruptcy articles. So we're not really in a normal give-and-take situation in a corporate sense or what have you. It is a corporation, but it's bankrupted. We're using the articles of bankruptcy that a corporation would be using, but it's called the Uniform Commercial Code of Section 1. And that's why we talk about Section 1 of the 1-307, UCC 1-308, is the, the article that talks about being aware of the law. A party with privileges that are reserved performs promises and or attempts preservation or attempts action is demanded or offered by the other party doesn't prejudice the privileges reserved. And that's sort of a paraphrase of that. A party with explicit reservation of privileges. And in the article, it talks about preservation of rights, but we talk about the attitude that privileges are really what we have and not rights. We don't have rights. We have one birthright, which is the right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. It's really happiness, not pursuit of happiness. That is the birthright. So we have one singular right, and we don't have a plurality of rights. We have a plurality of privileges. So I actually got that out.
That's right.
Stumbling around today. So,
okay.
But I'm usually by myself with the whole thing, and it's sometimes a great struggle for me because I'm pretty much the recumbendibus all by myself, whilst everybody looks at me, upon me, waiting for me to fail. And so congratulations in the process, everyone.
Okay. Well, that's a very uplifting
yes,
statement.
I do what I can. Thank you. I do what I can to be very positive in that process.
Okay. Well, as we've mentioned, the four planks that we speak about during this show are sovereignty, solvency, afianchetto. And a couple of years back, we decided to add health because we feel if somebody doesn't have their health, then what do they care about the other three for? You have to be healthy. So I just wanted to mention that it is a fourth plank, even though it's not political, it is the most important aspect of life. So I didn't know if we mentioned the four planks. I don't think we mentioned that this year.
Not this time. Yeah, in a way, health is political because the word politics really means to govern. So we're governing our physical body and trying to manage it properly. And I always said, well, without your health, what good is politics or money? Because you're passing away early, if you will. And our attitude is that you can live indefinitely if you have proper nutrition and exercise. So we mentioned that on the show many times in the discussion of the health plank of the political forum that we present. And having said that, we're both raw vegan. We've been raw vegan for quite a while. And we've come to the conclusion, though, that people should probably attempt high raw, high percentage of raw. And the attitude is to be as raw vegan as long as you can until you cave into the desire, because people are going to do it anyway. So it doesn't matter if they attempt it or not. So the high raw is to make an effort until you have to cave into the desire of it. Because, again, people will do that anyway. You know, people attempt to do it. We've talked about that. And then they can't do it because
there's very few people that can do it 100%. And so we finally, after many years of struggling with that, because we do eat raw vegan 100%, we finally realized that we just have to bring it out to people, let them know the benefits of it, and you know, if they're interested, they can attempt it, or you know, if they cave in once in a while, then they just go back to being raw vegan.
And then the question is, why can't they be 100%? That we discussed probably in private, because you have to go through a deconditioning process or unconditioning process to wheedle out the desire issues in the engrams, the mental engrams. And we think that probably there's only one teaching that can do that, but we don't really talk about that on this particular call, because my attitude politically is disestablishmentarianism to separate spirituality and state. And therefore, that becomes an issue about people wondering why you can't do 100% raw vegan. And my opinion is, you cannot defeat desire with willpower. And people will say that, the willpower business, but go ahead and try it and see if you can. I don't think so. You want to get in there.
No, I agree with you, because you're right about that, because willpower will only get you so far. And emotional attachments to certain foods and memories attached to those few foods are very powerful. And I do believe that people will occasionally falter, because that is too much of a pull when you're thinking
yes.
of family gatherings and all that kind of thing. And that's hard to resist.
Right.
So we're just saying to make the attempt to be as much raw vegan as you can. and do the best you can with it. It'll improve your health tremendously.
And also the other part is, it's if you anybody has any pets, you find that they have no moral code, really. They're sneaky and they won't obey you if they can get away with it. We know that. If you turn your back, they're going to do what they want to do. So that's in the human being too, in the animal side. So that sneaky, cheating type thing is a part of human nature. Not to sustain a discipline is something that needs to be reconditioned, re-inured, and again, there's really only one teaching that can do that, and I'm not going to even mention it right now. So I'll leave people in suspense. And right now, we can't do the Saturday show because we're having technical problems. The Saturday night show is a spiritual show that talks about it, and we really can't do that right now. And I apologize, but that's the nature of truth. You have to give it out at the proper time, timing of the whole thing. And I know people argue that point that they can stay raw vegan, but somebody needs to prove it to me and show me that they've done it. Because everybody I ever talked about to that say they're raw vegan, they cheat. You know, they'll say, well, once in a while I'll have a baked potato or eat some steamed vegetables, which are worse than boiling. That steamed vegetables are running about 700 degrees. I don't know why people think that steamed is better than boiling. I get that. That's
well, because
that's
a little
ridiculous.
Part of the... I think because it doesn't heat it all the way through, because they're a little crispy and they're not totally soggy like when you boil vegetables. So I think that's why they think steaming is probably better.
But they don't really go and study and realize the temperature of steaming is about 700 degrees. I mean, that's four times as bad as boiling.
Okay.
So it's ridiculous. But people don't source things. And I'm always mentioning on this show that people need to find the source of their information, not just take it piecemeal. Find out what the information is about, who's presenting it, what foundation or what religion is backing it, what kind of money is it they want for their information, donations, contributions, all that business, because they always have their hand out. And I'm not begrudging that, but the point is you have to find and become aware of all the information. Just don't sit on it without knowing where it's sourced. You see that problem bothers me. It's kind of like discussing the factor of the talisman of medical pills and things that are given to us, food, everything, and then we don't really realize it. We believe in it and it works, and that's really the bottom line. No matter what you do out there, if you believe in it, it's going to work. And that means, does it have any value other than belief? Not really. It's just something that we're in a monetary system. People sell things, and then you believe that it works, and it does. But don't insult me and tell me it's not a talisman of belief. You see, everything's a talisman of belief, the medical profession, everything. But be aware of that. See, they can come to me and say, well, this is my talisman. I want to sell it to you for $100. I'll give them $100. But don't lie to me in the process. You know, people have to be aware. It's just believability. We believe in it and it works. I can repeat that over many, many times because people have to understand that. There really is nothing in this world that isn't, you have to believe in it for it to have value. It has an equation or a way that's being presented that makes sense logically, but then logic is a complete failure too because it's antithetical. Somebody will want to argue with what I say, even if I make an effort to make it synthetic or make it something that would be a synthesis or get to a point where it has value, but it's valueless. Unless you're speaking higher Sanskrit, the language is totally valueless.
Well, there you have it.
Thank you very much. End of story.
So, I'd like to transition from speaking about the health plank to afiancetto.
Okay.
And perhaps people might wonder why we speak about afiancetto, and which you might know is not sacrificing one for the many, because everybody is a value. And I was wondering if you wanted to speak about why that's the third plank.
Right. It's a really economic demolition. That means that when things and stuff, your assets aren't turning a profit, then they need to be eliminated somehow. So what they make it look like nowadays, they make it look like we have war. But in reality, since the 1930 Geneva Convention, we've had military exercises. And the military exercises mean that the Partnerships for Peace Foundation, which is a Rockefeller Foundation, will fund 80% of a military exercise. And you can look this up in Britannica, Encyclopedia Britannica, under World Organizations, And you can find the Partnerships for Peace Foundations will fund the military exercise. That means that if you have buildings in your city that are falling down, just like in World War II and in parts of Berlin and what have you, that their missiles and what have, or not missiles, they didn't have missiles then, but the bombs and what have you were not that precise, and there was a lot of collateral damage. Now they go in and do surgically removing buildings and what have you like they did in Baghdad. But don't kid yourselves, there's still collateral damage because they're not that precise. So the idea is that when things are dilapidated and falling down, they need to be refurbished quickly, and you can't do it sometimes in the present economy because we don't have the technology to refurbish things quickly, so then you have to remove it. So and they make it appear, and they call it war, but in reality, it's economic demolition. So the idea of A. Fianchetto is that instead of eliminating or the demolitions with the people in the buildings, we should evacuate the buildings. Now, the powers of B won't do that because now you're educating people to economic demolition. I don't think that's an issue. I think that people could become aware of that. They have a privilege to be aware of that and to remove themselves from the buildings that need to be brought down. But there are some discussions about the Fianchetto aspect that make people expendable, and I don't agree with that because I think that each individual is, in essence, a soul, and they're very valuable. You see, so every human being, no matter how awful they may be, or your neighbor that you don't like, are still a what we would call Zika fodder.
Right. And for those of you who are not familiar with that term, this is a little secret that we're giving away about the term Zika. And it's not the Zika virus, which is spelled Z-I-K-A. Zika, the word itself, is Z-E-E-K-A. And it's actually a higher Sanskrit term that means increase.
Yes, it means increase.
Increase.
Sanskrit, not script.
I said Sanskrit.
Oh, I apologize.
Sorry, everybody. But I did say Sanskrit. Hope you all understood that. Anyway, the reason we're speaking about that, because it's important to give out energy. If anybody wants to be successful in anything in life, you have to be giving out energy at all times. And so that's why we're thinking in terms of giving Zika to people. So it's something that you're thinking. It's not a tangible thing that you're giving, but it's energy that you're thinking in your mind. You're giving out all the time. And what happens is, everything that we give out returns to us. So it doesn't exactly return to us as we're planning. It just returns to us. But it brings more success into our own lives and more happiness because of it. So it's a very important issue, giving out Zika.
Yeah, the actually specific English word that Zika is the derivative of is the word increase. Right. So when we say Zika, it's really the power term behind the logical term increase. Increase would be an antithetical word, whereas Zika would be synthesis. As I was saying earlier, the higher Sanskrit is a language that children are born with. The gibberish of children is actually a language. And I know that people don't understand that, but if anybody that's on the call has infants that are below 2 years of age, usually they'll respond to the speaking in tongues is what the Pentecostals do emotionally and what have you. Some of the religions are into speaking in tongues. But the speaking in tongues is really higher Sanskrit. And the higher Sanskrit is a bona fide language, albeit it really doesn't make sense, but it's an expression, that type of thing. And it's also very powerful. So the word Zika is the derivation of the word increase. So if you want to use increase, that's good too, because as Gabriella said, we have to outflow and we have to keep giving energy out into your world because you're the creator of everything around you. People don't really understand that. There's really no causation outside of your own realm, but you have to learn that you are creating everything around you. So if you're not creating in Zika and the vision, you have to have a vision. I highly recommend a vision board. You know, it's like a collage that you can put pictures on the wall of things that you want. And I know people make fun of that. They think it's like a knitting circle that women get together and go, oh, we'll make a little collage. And they make fun of this whole thing. But I assure you the vision board is very powerful because you're creating what your vision and the increase. Those are the twofold aspect of the book The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles, which I highly recommend. That's a bibliography book that I would highly recommend to people to read. In chapter 14, he discusses the twofold aspect of increase and a vision. And don't forget the vision, and you put the increase mantra on that, if you will. And we use the word Zika because it's actually the source, as aforesaid, of the word increase. So we must understand that using that twofold process, one can become very wealthy and change their life considerably and stop crying about the finances and crying the blues and what have you. But if you have negativity in your life and negative thoughts, then you really need to put Zika on that. That's why we call it Zika fodder. It's like a new thought is what Wallace Wattles called his book he wrote in 1910. So I highly recommend that because that will help people with their financial issues by putting their attention on a constant basis. And no, don't be concerned about the timing and the how, because the timing and the how, even by the new age motivators, they talk about eliminate that, eliminate how you do it, eliminate the idea of timing, because it's the inborn state of the child wanting what they are thinking about. They want things. They don't care about the time and how. They want it. That's the inborn state. So you create a picture and you want it. You don't say now, because now is the time. You don't put any considerations on that. And a child doesn't implicate the idea of now. It just wants it. See, they're not talking. They're not thinking or talking or saying anything about timing. They're just speaking gibberish, which is higher Sanskrit, the power thing, when they're born into this world. So we're talking about complete power when we're talking about, they talk about empowering. We're talking about power on this show. We don't talk about empowering. We're talking about utilize your power. If you want to think that empowering means that, but see, to me, it's like a new age buzzword that nobody really understands. Is that stimulus enough in terms of commentary?
Zika? Yes, I think that's probably a good explanation. I think that's probably a good explanation of it. If anybody's interested in talking a little bit more about it, is it okay for me to mention the Sunday club?
You're right. That's a good idea.
Okay. So on Sunday mornings, and Eastern Standard Time in the U.S. at
6:15. When we start. Okay.
We do a conference call.
That's a.m. Yeah,
in the morning, 6:15 in the morning. I said morning.
I see.
Okay. We do a conference call where we're talking about the Uniform Commercial Code. We talk about a lot of different aspects. Zika sending out increase is part of that. There are many different issues that we're talking about that are related to this particular show. So if you're interested in being on that phone call, it's a conference call, and the number is?
712-432-1500, and the PIN code is 321-338#.
Yes. So you can call in at 6:15, and it's approximately
About an hour and a half. Yeah.
It's approximately an hour and a half for that call.
Right.
Okay. So just if you're interested, because there are many participants on this call, not only in the States, but in different parts of the world, that internationally, that get on the phone. So there are a lot of different viewpoints that are given and talked about, and it's a very, very interesting call.
Yeah, we have several Australian participants too.
UK.
Right, UK.
Costa Rica,
Australia. I think we have some people, well, they're from India, but they're in Great Britain. So we have a lot of people on the call, anywhere about 20 to 30 people, and then the fringes people that come back each week. But we've been doing that call for about eight or nine years now. And it's very important to participate if you can. And we have most people listen because, again, phone calls and, conference calls, they're linear. So you have to get in there, and you can't all speak at once unless it's opera, and then you're singing together, as Mozart would say.
I guess.
Since he's not here, we don't have to be
it's
concerned.
It's very, very hard to vouch for what Mozart would have said, I think.
Yes.
It's sort of a guesswork of what Mozart might have said in our opinions.
Well,
because
the writers talked about it.
Remember the movie Amadeus that came out 20 or 30 years ago, and we thought they were giving an accurate picture of Mozart's life. And then when you come to find out about it, there was a lot of fictionalization, embellishment
right.
about some of the things
right.
that Mozart did.
Yes, absolutely. the Hollywood free license to change all the books that they write about in terms of the authors, and they say based upon, it should say loosely based upon.
Yes, that would be better, loosely based upon.
Maybe the title only, you know, entitled. The rest of it, we're not sure what's going on in terms of Hollywood. All right, so we're getting down to close to the end, but we've still got about 5 minutes to kill, so to speak. And so does that mean we kill them with laughter? Make a few jokes?
I don't know. I really don't like that term, to be honest.
Well, they use that in Hollywood and what have you. Slay them in the aisles or whatnot.
Break a leg.
Yeah, break a leg, all those negative terms. Because they don't want you to go out there and think.
They think they'll jinx you if you say something positive.
Yeah.
So they say something negative.
Right. Well, there's your typical lower world's negativity, you know, in terms of that, and energy-wise.
Okay.
Okay. Right. So we still have
about. There you have it.
Yeah, there you have it. Okay. There you have it. We still have about 4.5 minutes. All right. So we ran out of gas today.
Do you want to talk about solvency a little bit more? Because that's what we started out talking about, and then I veered you away.
Well, actually, I was talking about money. We weren't really talking about sovereignty, that everybody needs a sovereignty certificate. They're issued licenses by the government, but when people are born, if they're issued a birth certificate before they get a sovereignty certificate, they've actually made a license tort by their very birth. So that would be a civil violation that people don't even realize that. So what happens is when you have a proper sovereignty certificate, then you have the right to use that privilege and you're not creating a license tort. It's very interesting. So in the future, I don't know about now, but you know, or tomorrow, but maybe in the next 20 or 30 years, people will become aware of the sovereignty certificate and the governments will start issuing them. It might be a good business to get into at some point. So we still have 3 minutes left. And did you have anything else you want to add, subtract, multiply, or divide?
No, I thought maybe we could have complete silence for the next 3 minutes.
Well, you know, they used to do those cable shows years ago. There was a fellow that paid hours time to do the cable show. He sat on a stool and just fell off, and the camera went down to him, watched him for 1 hour laying on the ground. You know.
Well, wasn't there that film about David Beckham, the very famous soccer player who exists still today? He's still a young guy, but they had a short film of David Beckham sleeping.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I think it was made by some woman because he's such a good-looking guy. They just decided to watch him sleeping.
How long was the sleeping?
I'm not sure.
I see.
But they actually made a film of David Beckham sleeping.
I didn't know that. That's very funny.
Yeah.
I appreciate silly stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my teacher, Paul Twitchell, was giving a talk years ago, and he was silent for the first hour of the talk, and there were 100 people in the audience. 50 people left and 50 people stayed. So he decided after the talk that he'd start talking to people because it was just silly to sit up there like the sheikhs do in the East. They sit up and are worshipped practically by people, and they don't speak sometimes. They just sit in a chair or on a throne or what have you, which I find is really ridiculous. All right, so we're down to the last couple of minutes of the show. I want to thank everybody for listening in today, all the journeymen that come back each week, and for all the new people that come for the first time. I appreciate you being here. I can't do this without you. Gabriella, I really appreciate you being here as well each week.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
It's a great opportunity to do the show with you. I appreciate it.
Yes. People don't know why. We laugh. We do apologize.
We laugh because we're very silly people.
That's right. We have ESP.
We have ESP.
Right.
Extra silly people.
All right. So I'm down to the last minute. Thank you very much. This is Grant and Taylor Hughes. Have a great week and goodbye for now.